Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com.
Tennessee sounds perfect.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. I am Ben. That's Noel. Noel, do you see a wanderer from afar? Who is that man?
Is that Max Shoots at Clouds Williams?
It might be our super producer, Mr. Max Williams.
Max won't pass the gunshot residue test, Williams.
Max with opinions about the presidents, Williams. Max has...
Whoa, that kind of has a slant rhyme to it. I like that.
So Max, you have returned to us recovering from the conditions.
Yes. What? Okay, no, I'm just gonna just keep go past that. Yeah, no, I was on a quick little vacation, went and saw some friends up in Charleston, went and saw my friends Michael and Jacqueline, who since the last time I've seen them had two more children. They have five children, all under the age of 8.
Human children.
The nerve.
Yes. Yes, and they're all blonde with blue eyes. My friends are referring to them as children of the corn, and they live on a farm. And yeah, I was like, Michael, I don't get why you moved to a farm. And then, like, you know, drove the tractor around and shot his 22 millimeter rifle, because that's the biggest one I would hold. I wouldn't do the shotgun. And I was like, okay, I kind of get it. I still like, you know, Walmart's within 30 minutes of me, but still.
Mm-hmm. You would say the shotgun was too spicy. Perhaps.
It was a little too spicy. Yeah.
Do you see what we're doing here, Noel?
Oh, I do. I do. We're getting to the spicy stuff. The hot juice. What's another name for hot sauce? I don't know. I've hit a wall.
Salsa caliente.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. The devil's nectar.
There we go. Yeah. The Mephistopheles sipping juice. Right. That's a reach, but we are
the milk of Apollo.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, okay, yeah. So we are returning with our history of condiments. And today we are following up on a conversation with our pal, Ben Hackett, guest super producer here on Ridiculous History. We're talking about hot sauce. And Noel, shout out to Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. I was listening to a recent recording we did.
Those a-holes?
Those absolute monsters. I was listening to a recording we did wherein we talk about the word sauce.
You know what's funny, Ben? I watch a lot of British-type cooking competitions, and I've noticed that they accent the word sauce really unusually. They'll call it hot sauce, not hot sauce, or any kind of, you know, we're making like a nice béarnaise sauce, and there's a real hard punch on the sauce.
They spend a lot of time on the U.
They do. And they also, you know, they call it a fillet. Absurd. You're close enough to France to know that it's pronounced filet. What are you doing? It's an odd flex. Speaking of which, check out our crossover episode with Ridiculous Crime. But Ben, I love hot sauce. I'm pretty sure you love hot sauce. Max, I think, could take it or leave it because of his condition.
He has the condition.
Yes.
I will say the condition is exacerbated by it, but I just have never been able to eat hot sauce. I was at a friend's birthday party a few months ago, and I picked up some of the hot wings and I ate a few of them, being like, I can handle this. And my friend Rob looked at me, he goes, you look like you're in a lot of pain, Max. And I'm like, I hate it. I wish I could.
You immediately fell out with a case of the vapors.
Yes. Well, as Max is recuperating from the condition, which we are never going to explain. So let's talk about the history of hot sauce. First off, can we?
Yeah, let's.
So we're talking about, when we say hot sauce, we're talking about a group term for condiments made with chili peppers as a base. It's true that there are other hot things, right? Other hot condiments.
Sure.
But nowadays, Noel, I think it's fair to say, in general, when people talk about hot sauce, they mean stuff with chili peppers as sort of the Kaiser Soze, the key ingredient.
1,000,000%. Yeah, and of course, much like barbecue sauce, there are lots of methods may vary wildly. There's going to be, you know, more vinegary ones. There's going to be ones that are a little more chunky, maybe almost resemble more of a salsa. There's going to be some that are punishingly spicy for the intrepid culinary travelers out there. And then there are going to be some that are kind of for everybody, barely even like could be considered hot, almost more of like a nice little let's call it tang. I like them all. I don't necessarily go out for the punishingly spicy ones. I find those to be oppressive and pretty unpleasant. But there are some, I think, you know, what is it, the Scoville rating? We should probably talk a little bit about that at some point. There, you know, obviously there's a scale for how spicy things are. I think I find myself living comfortably probably in the middle somewhere. This is where I max out.
Nice.
How about you, Ben? Do you like the... I know our buddy Matt Frederick, who is not with us, who is one of those a-holes on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, likes it as hot as they come, baby. He's like, give me all the capsaicums.
It's so weird when we are on the road with Matt, and I feel like because Matt is so kind and polite,
right,
it usually falls to one of us to be the person who speaks to the waiter and says,
"That's true.
No, seriously, he does want it as hot as possible. Yeah.
Our boy wants to be punished. He's been a bad boy.
He feels bad about something. There's this huge variety of hot sauce, as you said, Noel, because there are also now a wide variety of chili peppers. There's an active arms race.
New ones being made.
Right,
people are trying to make these mutant chilies.
Yeah, shout out Carolina Reaper, etc.
Right.
So the weird thing is, with a lot of food inventions or discoveries, it's usually difficult to trace an origin point. Hot sauce is very different because chili peppers come from one place in the world. They come from what we would call Mesoamerica, Mexico, right. Central America, Amazon Basin, and South America. It's the only place they grew on their own.
They would have grown naturally there. I got it. Okay. And then, of course, like colonizers, am I right? They just kind of scoop them all up and spread them hither, thither, and yon.
You're so right. And these are pre-European colonizers because chili peppers, just like maize or corn, chili peppers were domesticated by local populations. And, oh gosh, I'm looking at all our bad puns for peppers. Little peps got domesticated really quickly. The use of chili peppers as a condiment dates back easily 7,000 BCE. Like, the Aztecs were using this. They were probably grinding up chilies with water and whatever local herbs were available. And then they would eat them with an ancestor of what we call the corn tortilla today, which means the world's first quesadilla was likely a chili pepper paste quesadilla.
Well, now, Ben, I may have to dispute this. Do you think that they have the shredded Mexican cheese blend at this point in history.
Right. We do know they had some variety of dairy.
They did have dairy. Likely. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, was it the kind of quesadilla we would recognize today? Probably not.
Yeah. Perhaps more of a queso fresco type situation.
There we go. I mean, they also, isn't it true that Aztec civilizations or Mesoamerican civilizations didn't just use this stuff as a condiment? They also used it as medicine?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's powerful stuff. And as we know, oftentimes if you do have a little bit of a case of the sniffles, eating a nice spicy soup, you know, can really clear out your sinuses. It causes them to kind of run wildly. So the Aztecs figured this out. They used it not just to enhance the flavor of their food, but also to treat, as we said, things like the sniffles, colds, sore throats, stomach aches. And again, I mean, I to this day, if you ask Anthony Bourdain, rest in peace, what the best cure for a hangover is, he will say some really spicy food, a Coca-Cola classic,
right.
And smoke a joint.
Oh, I thought he said aspirin.
You might have said aspirin as well. The rest of them might be placebo effect, except for the spicy soup. Because I swear to God, that stuff will cure what ails you. And at the very least, it comforts you in some respect and kind of does. Maybe it's because it's like such it affects you. Therefore, it might take your mind off the crappy thing that's affecting you.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's because chili peppers contain a collection of things called capsaicinoids. The main one of these is capsaicin, and capsaicin mimics that sensation of heat when it hits, we're a family show, when it hits certain tissues in the human body. Also, it was astonishing to learn capsaicin is part of the vanilloid family, like the vanilla.
Wait, is that real? Vanilloid?
Yeah.
It sounds like a very like white robot or something, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's a it has nothing to do with the noid of was that Pizza Hut?
It was Domino's.
Domino's. It has nothing to do with the noid of
that
Domino's.
That guy was crazy.
That guy had made some really specific choices.
Yeah. I mean, he was basically, if anyone doesn't remember the Noid, it was this like claymation dude wearing a rabbit costume and like flying around the city.
A red rabbit costume.
I believe he used an umbrella like Mary Poppins, or maybe it was balloons. But I do distinctly remember there was a golden period for product tie-in video games. And
yes.
There was an Avoid the Noid video game for Sega Genesis, as well as one where you could play as the 7-Up Dots.
Yes. Yeah. And I did like the 7-Up game for the record.
I don't recall anything about it other than you were a little dot with like sunglasses.
So he is, the Noid is a problem for all pizza delivery folks.
Is he a Hamburglar type figure? He's coming for your pizza?
Much. He's okay. Very much okay. A rogue. Yeah.
Did you guys ever play Chex Quest?
No, I don't think so. Is that like one of those early PC kind of like fantasy, like text-y type games?
No, it's actually, so it's built off the Doom engine.
That's cool. Okay.
But it was just like, it came free in a box of Chex, and you put it in your, you know, Windows 95 or DOS computer. So we're going old.
I get it now. Mm-hmm.
And you're basically, instead of, you're playing Doom, but instead of, you know, murdering people, you are sending slime back to a different dimension. It's a banger. It's like you can find it emulators and all that, and they have multiple games. It's truly amazing. And you like, you think about it, you got it out of a box of Chex, which was like, how much?
You're from a very pro cereal family, Max,
which is funny because I am a pretty anti cereal person. Listen to our cereal episode.
Yeah there it is. And also for anybody who's eating peppers right now as you're listening to this, you're going to experience the following order of operations.
Yeah.
Once you get that initial burn, you get a bunch of endorphins hitting your brain, and that triggers an anti-inflammatory reaction.
That's the right one. Yeah. That's the word. I mean, it really is medicine, man. It'll do something for you. Doesn't it cause like your blood vessels to contract or something like that?
Oh, like similar to caffeine?
I think so. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I could have sworn that it had another effect sort of like that.
we know that ancient Mesoamerican civilizations would use chili pepper to relieve tooth pain, which I think is pretty interesting. I mean, also, it must be said, if you're human, your mouth and your anus have similar receptors for capsaicin, which is why sometimes the stuff that goes into your northeast will also burn coming out of your Australia.
Oh, boy. I wasn't entirely rough off the map. Capsaicin, apparently there's a study from published in Open Heart, which is like a, you know, heart health journal, that found that capsaicin is very important for promoting vascular and metabolic health because it can actually improve blood flow and therefore lower your blood pressure.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
It's kind of funny because you'd think it would be like bad for stuff like that, you know, because it is so aggressive. It can be so like aggressively kind of all encompassing. But yeah, no, it's doing good stuff. Have you guys seen this amazing fellow on Instagram? I kind of forget what his handle is, but he goes, "One Carolina Reaper pepper dipped in chili oil." He talks like that. And he just like eats these peppers all whole, dipped in the most like aggressively spicy chili oil and other various chili products. And then he just eats it and goes, and he does it every time.
I haven't seen that, but I have seen the entire subgenre of YouTube reactions. There are people who will just explain to you calmly the crazy thing they're about to eat, and then the rest of the video is them sort of stoically
freaking out,
weeping. You know, or sometimes they're the people. I think the overreactors are playing a bit to the cameras.
I think you might be right. My favorite is a clip show, I guess, of TikTok reactions to this really, really sour candy called like the Black Death. And like this British woman says, "It's like there's a metal bolt jammed through the roof of me mouth." it's funny stuff. And I'm sure there are some peppers that'll make you feel that way too, if you're not careful.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right. So we know that this pepper, the chili pepper phenomenon, it originates in Mesoamerica. How did it get to the rest of the world? Well, we got a fast forward to a bunch of Europeans. One guy who is notoriously terrible at geography, Cristobal Colon, known as Christopher Columbus here in the U.S., he goes out on this journey to find India. He does not find India. He gets lost along the way and stumbles across one of the world's most popular condiments. The Queen and King of Spain had tasked him with finding pepper, like table pepper, the grindable, right, like peppercorns.
Sure.
He did not find that. He did not find India. He found instead this intense, spicy plant, chili peppers, and he called it, in a burst of creativity, pepper, probably because he didn't want to get in trouble with the monarchy.
Oh, funny. So they weren't aware of this other kind of more spicy brethren to the humble table pepper?
They had no idea. And so he just called it pepper for branding purposes, essentially.
That's interesting. And now to this day, we use peppers for all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of, I mean, you know, like green pepper isn't related to the chili pepper. Well, I mean, I guess maybe it's what's the deal? Can we dissect really quickly what it means to be a pepper? And sure. Is table pepper, peppercorns, related to a green pepper or an orange pepper?
So black pepper, the peppercorn, the table pepper, it's it's a fruit of a flowering vine. And so pepper is usually, in that sense, that kind of pepper is usually dried out and used as a spice. Or, of course, you grind it on a nice pasta.
Sure. Please. Say when. Right. So I guess what I'm getting at here, Ben, is so the fact that we have associated the word pepper with all of these other kind of more, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, fruit-like bodies, is all as a result of somebody kind of making a whoopsie and not wanting to get in trouble?
Yeah, okay.
History is full of that kind of stuff, isn't it? It just sure sort of is. Like someone just throws it out there and it just sort of sticks, and that's what we got now.
So we can give a collective boo to our pal Columbus. Are we ready?
Yes, please. Let's.
Boo.
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 Boo. Shame boo. On you. Shame on you.
Boo.
However, like the Police Academy franchise, this boo. Was not all bad. All right, Max, do you want to do your Cristobal Colon comparison?
Oh, that he's just like, you know, an early edition of Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, jeez.
You know, if I get a chance to kick the corpse of Woodrow Wilson, I will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. New POTUS rankings dropped.
Still too high. Still too high.
Yeah. Is he low, though? Is he pretty relatively not appropriately low? Not low enough.
He's in the teens. For a long time, he was top 10, though. He's I think they said down 5 since 2015.
Can you give me like 3 of the worst things that he did that make you despise him? So again, I'm not nearly the student of presidential history that you are.
He resegregated the national government.
Oh, that'll do it. Okay, cool. Say no more.
He also invented that thing where you have to put emojis in text.
I like emojis in text.
All right, well. He's still
much less aggressive than ending your text with a period.
All right, agree to disagree.
Yeah, Ben, I got you on this one.
So
hurts my feelings.
And you know, this trade, this proliferation of peppers, it came in step with the proliferation of things like the spread of onions and garlic. Europeans were exposed to peppers, but also people in Mesoamerica were exposed to garlic. They were exposed to onions. And now those are sort of a holy triumvirate of hot sauce.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, especially considering that, if I'm not mistaken, Ben, the spiciness of a chili is almost like a survival mechanism. You know, it's sort of like a flower having thorns. It's to discourage animals from eating them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And humans enjoyed that. We'll get to why humans enjoy that in a second, but you're 100% right. Let's spend some time on an oft-ignored tale, one the Jedi won't tell you, the Great Columbian Exchange. All right, so our buddy...
A Middle Passage type situation,
oh, geez, for sure.
I mean, really, yeah.
So our buddy Christopher Columbus goes back to Europe. I mean, many other European explorers go to what they call the New World. They come back and they're like, we have this amazing plant. It's flavorful. It's cheap. It's adaptable. Spaniards in particular borrowed the word chili from Aztec civilization.
Ah.
Yeah. And so.
Borrowed.
Yeah.
Let's just call it what it is. Stole. Like they stole everything else.
Yeah, here's a cool fact that you taught me a few years ago. Hungary was one of the first countries in history to customize chili peppers. They created paprika.
Oh, God, I love paprika. So paprika is not spicy. I mean, it's basically just ground, kind of more savory, not sweet peppers exactly. I'm not sure exactly what kind of pepper goes into it, but it's such a nice, you know, just robust flavor. I wanted to ask you, Ben, you mentioned the idea of chilies being flavorful or people finding them to be so. Do you think chilies at a certain spice level should be considered flavor, or is it literally just poisoning yourself?
Flavor.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I guess I loaded the question a little bit, but you held the line.
I agree with you because Hungary loved the flavor, the sensation, the depth of the chili pepper, but they didn't like the heat.
Right.
So they removed the seeds, dry the pepper, grind it up into paprika. And to this day, Hungary is one of the best climates for growing paprika peppers.
Interesting. I had no idea. You know what I like a lot, Ben?
Hmm.
A smoked paprika.
Oh, yeah.
Really takes it to the next level.
Also, I'm a cheapskate. So if I'm in your local grocery store and I see two choices of paprika, and one is regular paprika, one is smoked paprika, and they're the same price, I feel like I'm losing money if I buy the regular paprika.
Smoked is usually a little bit more because it's a whole nother process. I'll tell you the best, if anyone's passing through Atlanta, and I know you guys know this, you got to hit up your DeKalb Farmer's Market where you can get absolute tubs of smoked paprika for like pennies on the dollar.
I knew you were going to say pennies on the dollar. They're crazy with the spices. Yes. Go to get thee to the DeKalb farm.
They last forever. You know, I mean, they really do. If you keep them airtight in a dark, dry place, you'll be able to be rocking that smoked paprika for a good long while. That's the thing too about the trade that we're talking about. And this is a product that will keep, right? Mm. Especially if you're drying it out, like it will, you know, not spoil, for very long periods of time.
Yeah, and the chili pepper didn't just hit Europe, right? It's now a fundamental part of Asian cuisine.
Exactly. But then we're talking about different types of pepper. We've got Szechuan peppers at this point. Some of these peppers that have almost a numbing quality to them. It's really interesting, the varieties of peppers that are out there in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The chili pepper arrives on the Asian continent via Portuguese traders, probably in the early 1500s or so. And this stuff is an instant hit. They're affordable. They're durable. You can domesticate them and grow, customize them, for lack of a better word. So they replace black pepper as the primary spice across most of the continent. And Asian cooks begin mashing up their peppers with liquids and other flavorings, making all sorts of sauces, a whole panoply. Thailand in particular is the birthplace of something called nam prik that combines peppers in a sauce with things like fish paste or fermented shrimp paste. Shout out again to our pal Ben Hackett. He is a fellow fan of Hot Takes and Hot Sauce.
We were talking when he guest produced the show the other day about how it was a real like bonding thing between he and his dad. How when he was growing up, they would try all these different spicy hot sauces after church. They'd also go and get like a, I think this I'm not going to lie, this kind of grossed me out a little bit. But, you know, we see on Hot Ones, that Hot Wing show, a lot of times people will have a glass of milk on hand. I don't know that it's scientifically proven that milk actually nullifies the effects of a spicy food, but perhaps it's a placebo thing. But Ben and his dad opted for cottage cheese, which I find to be the most detestable substance in the culinary world.
Interesting. Out of all the other foods.
It's a texture thing.
Okay.
It looks like baby vomit to me, kind of. It evokes those feelings.
Do you eat a lot of baby vomit or what's...
Well, I mean...
Who am I to judge?
An acceptable amount.
Acceptable, just like the FDA of rat turds and cereal.
I am a father. At some point, a baby has probably vomited in my mouth.
Okay. So you're absolutely right about the milk. Dairy products do help you if you are over your head in a heatful situation. And it's because hot peppers, like you said earlier, they did not evolve to become purposely delicious. The heat was originally a way to make the plants less delectable to various animals.
Like, exactly.
Why would a fruit evolve to avoid being eaten? Apparently, it's due to the fact that small mammals would eat peppers. And when they did, because mammals have teeth, they would chew at the seeds, and this would ruin the plant's ability to propagate, to reproduce. But birds, as you know well, Noel.
Oh, boy.
They don't have teeth.
No. They just have weird, sharpened, pointy bone things that they come at you with.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm turning over a new leaf about birds. I told you I've been playing Wingspan a lot.
Yeah.
And it's really changed my outlook on birds. I know so much about birds, and they are quite delightful creatures in their own way, but they also still freak me out. We'll leave it to humans to say, well, F you, plant, to your biologically evolved defense mechanism. I'm going to eat you just the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Birds have different taste receptors than mammals, so capsaicin doesn't deter them the way a rat would be deterred. But humans liked the rush. They liked the pain of the thing. And one of the first questions civilization asks itself as the chili pepper goes global is, can we make money off of this?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely money to be made. I don't know. How quickly do you think it kind of caught on, Ben? Like, it seems like a little bit, you know, when it would hit, it would be an acquired taste, perhaps, mm-hmm. you know, at a time where, let's just say, culinary offerings were perhaps a little bit more on the vanilloid side.
Ah, nice callback. Yeah, it happened pretty quickly in the grand scheme of things because, again, the chili pepper is so easily cultivated. But so when they start making commercial hot sauce, there's a lot of debate about this. We are not sponsored by any like big hot sauce brand.
Well, please sponsor us.
But we're super down, by the way. So let's go to Massachusetts in 1807. This thing comes out called cayenne sauce, and it was named after the cayenne chili peppers. But it wasn't until the 1860s that hot sauce became a big staple in the United States, and it's all due to Tabasco.
Tabasco. Gosh, you know what I think of when I hear Tabasco now?
What's that?
That episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where Bob Odenkirk plays the porn star and he tells this whole story about how he was having a hard time getting, up for the scene and how Tabasco plays a role in helping to... I actually realize now that's why I said the thing about blood vessels contracting.
Oh, wow.
I remember it from Curb because apparently if you apply it, let's just say to... What did you refer to the backside as?
The Australia.
The Australia. Then it'll causes you to go tumescent.
That Bob Odenkirk is going places, I think.
Yeah. You know, I hope so. They should give him his own show.
Maybe he'll get one. Speaking of fiery... fiery facts and foods, we got to give a shout out to Dave DeWitt and Chuck Evans over at Fiery Foods Central, because they break down the evolution of commercialized hot sauce in weirdly enough, they learn about it via vintage bottle collectors.
Yes, indeed. And they say much of what we know about now extinct brands of hot sauces comes from bottle collectors, like you said, Ben. There is not a great body of material on the subject of collectible hot sauce bottles, but we are indebted to Betty Zumwalt, author of Ketchup, Pickles, Sauces, 19th Century Food in Glass.
It's a whole book.
It makes sense. You know, the idea of, again, the ability to preserve this stuff, that's another thing that happens when you make hot sauce, especially if there's a little bit of fermentation going on, is it keeps a lot longer. Although I only recently realized, Ben, that you are supposed to refrigerate your hot sauces after opening.
Yeah.
Some people don't think about that because they think of it as like a table sauce, mm-hmm. you know, like at a restaurant. But you should. I don't think it's going to kill you. I've definitely had some nice hot sauces that I did not refrigerate and I ate them and I'm okay. I'm still with us. I didn't even get a tummy ache. But it does recommend that if you read the fine print. Going on. Pickles, sauces, 19th century food in glass, who dutifully, this is Betty Zumwalt we're talking about, cataloged obscure hot sauce bottles found by collectors. Many bottles in the hands of collectors were uncovered from archaeological digs and shipwrecks.
Yeah, they found the condiments that the sailors used.
Right.
Right. And we've talked in the past about how naval food just absolutely sucked.
Right.
For so long, right? They had hardtack, which is barely digestible or edible. So they want some hot sauce. And the
Shush it up.
Yeah, the militaries of the world still love hot sauce today. If you open an MRE, anybody in the U.S. Armed Services can tell you, one of the best things you get is a tiny little, like,
airplane bottle.
There it is. Airplane bottle of hot sauce.
It's the kind that Hillary Clinton keeps in her bag.
Right. She's got that thing on her.
Because she's connected, man. She's with the culture.
She's very relevant. Yeah. If we fast forward, we see that 1849 is a crucial year in hot sauce and condiment history.
Yes.
Because that's when Lee and Perrins out of the UK make something called Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah, some people might pronounce it Worcestershire sauce, Worcester sauce.
Worcester sauce.
Results may vary. But yeah, I mean, it's I don't know, I would describe Worcestershire sauce as sort of like liquid umami in a way. It adds a little tang and a little bit of, not really spice exactly, salt for sure, but really it just has this extra thing to it, right? It's really good to add to a soup base or whatever. Maybe on a steak.
It's like if you've ever had to throw a bag of wet trash over your head and like while you're throwing it in the dumpster, a little bit of that garbage juice, just a tiny bit gets in your mouth.
Okay, so you tell us how you really feel about Worcestershire sauce.
I love it.
Yeah, I think it's good.
It
feels to me, again, I couldn't tell you what's in it exactly, but it does feel to me like there has to be some relationship with like A1 sauce. You know, there is something in A1 sauce that is very Worcestershire-y. But yeah, this really does become quite popular. Because also, as we know, British food kind of has a reputation for being bland and terrible. So, you know, anything to add a little bit of flavor to that stuff.
Worcestershire actually has a lot in common, I would argue, with the ancestors of ketchup, right? Like garum. It's
early
sort of
sauce. It was more of a brown, kind of like umami paste.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're nailing it with umami. And again, just to be clear, folks, please do not drink trash juice out of your garbage can.
Oh, God, Ben, you had to say it again. You had to bring it back. Once wasn't enough.
We're bringing it back. Also, 1849, that's the first recorded crop of Tabasco chilies, which are the key ingredient in McElhenney's Tabasco pepper sauce. There is a guy who doesn't get cited too often in the McElhenney story. His name is Colonel Monsell Watt. Louisiana.
A real gentleman.
Yeah, he's a real pill. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
He's a Louisiana banker, and he has a series of plantations. One of them is called the Deer Range Plantation. He grows, well, the people he enslaved grow these Tabasco chilies on this plantation, and he eventually starts spreading the word. He speaks to the New Orleans Daily Delta, paper of note at the time, about this this crop he's growing. And Noel, I think you would love to chew the scenery on this one.
I must not omit to notice the Colonel's pepper patch, which is 2 acres in extent, all planted with a new species of red pepper, which Colonel White has introduced into this country, called a Tabasco red pepper. The Colonel attributes the admirable health of his hands to the free use of the pepper.
Amazing. Well done. Well
done. Admirable health of his hands. Uh-huh. I don't think he's talking about his two hands. Yeah, he's definitely not talking about his you know, paid laborers employees with benefits and health care. Mm-hmm. Jeez. And, he's basically referring to them almost like livestock. Say, look at the health of my It's gross. It's like, you know, showing a horse's teeth on auction or something. It's
And Tabasco itself is a misspelling of Tabasco, the Mexican state.
So more appropriation. Lovely.
Yeah, he's super
not even getting chilled. The spelling right.
Super chill guy. He makes the first hot sauce from these chilies, and he sells it in 1859. Around about 1859, he gives some of the chilies and a sauce recipe to his buddy Edmund McIlhenny. And Edmund McIlhenny, also a plantation owner, has a spot on Avery Island. He's starting to grow these things. The U.S. Civil War happens. Union troops come in from New Orleans. In 1863, McIlhenny and his family leave Avery Island. They hide out in San Antonio, Texas, and wait for the heat to die down. They come back.
Wait, why are they on the lam? Why are they being sought?
Because the Union soldiers are invading.
Okay. And these are bad, bad slave owner men.
I see. They're not super chill.
And they're trying to hold on to their antiquated and despicable way of life.
So they come back to Avery Island, their plantation there in 1865, and they see the plantation is mostly destroyed. It's pretty ruined. However, in the soil, they see a few, like picture Dave Attenborough style, they see a few little green sprouts.
Right.
Chili plants have survived, and those
the pebble patch,
and McIlhenny is able to regrow a huge crop of Tabasco peppers from this stuff.
They are resilient little buggers. That's actually part and parcel with their whole, you know, stay away, don't eat me. Like they are, they have a bit of a heartiness to them.
And so in 1868, he packages this stuff up using Colonel Wyatt's recipe or something inspired by it, and he sells it, or he doesn't even sell it at this point. He sends it to people that he hopes will be wholesalers, and he sends it in used cologne bottles.
Is there anything the Tabasco Company has done to distance themselves from their racist legacy?
Also, do we know if they got all the cologne out of the bottles, or unclear. Maybe the hot sauce was just like really cologne-like?
Wait, there was like a little bit of a spill. Like that was part of the secret ingredient.
McIlhenny's original, now with Drakkar Noir. Yeah,
that's so funny. You know he would be a Drakkar Noir man.
Yeah, because Drakkar Noir is a choice.
It's a bit of a douchebag cologne. Let's be honest.
All right. Well, you know, we're taking a lot of. We're taking a lot of shots at people today, right? A lot of hot sauce.
Well, nobody in particular. Just, I mean, hey, if you wear Drakkar Noir, go with God. It's fine. I've definitely worn it at some point.
Did you really?
It's when I was younger. Didn't know better.
Okay. Well, all right, man. Everybody's on their journey.
It just sounds pretentious. It sounds fake French or something. You know what I mean? Like,
it's very Haagen-Dazs.
Yeah, exactly. Is it Haagen-Dazs? I think we've talked about this. That's fully invented. Right?
100%.
It's like nothing to do with anything.
But speaking of invention, we do have to mention someone you brought up earlier, Wilbur Scoville.
Yeah.
The creator of the Scoville scale. So whenever you see those TikTok or YouTube videos where someone's like, this is the hottest pepper, here are the stats. It's so-and-so on the Scoville scale.
Exactly. You know, it's funny, Ben, I meant to mention this earlier, but it reminds me the innovations in peppers that are going on today with people, you know, crossbreeding things. And I believe there was another pepper that was just dropped that is even spicier than the ghost pepper. I can't quite remember what it's called.
But I think it when people say something just dropped.
This new species of pepper just dropped. But it kind of reminds me of like, you know, what happens with marijuana now that it's much more, you know, freely available and legal and less suppressed and stuff. So there's tons of different, you know, strains and all of that and crossbreeding and people trying to make the fanciest, you know, most potent one. People always talk about weed back in the day was like way less strong. I kind of wonder if the same thing was true of peppers, you know, like old school peppers. Probably there was nothing even approaching the levels of spice and variety that we have today. But
you're 100% correct.
It was popular enough that there were enough different ones and enough different folks making hot sauces that somebody needed to keep track of them so any little baby mouths out there wouldn't get boined.
Yeah. Enter Wilbur Scoville.
Yeah, so, Wilbur. I love Wilbur.
Yeah, so he's alive. It's 1912 or so, and there's so much hot sauce that people are trying to have some sort of uniformity, right, to figure out some comparative scale. And his idea was this. The Scoville scale asks us, how much water do we need to dilute a spicy extract of a pepper, in his case, until it no longer tastes spicy? So every degree of dilution is one Scoville heat unit, or SHU, a SHU. So, for instance, 5,000 cups of water dilute 1 cup of Tabasco sauce to the point where it's no longer spicy.
For some reason, I'm picturing like a drug deal of hot sauce going down, where someone whips out the testing kit and has like the little dropper, you know, and sticks it on like a magnifying glass plate or whatever. Yeah. How does one conduct a Scoville test? Surely they don't actually have to dilute the thing with like 1,000 cups of water.
Well, the scale itself evolved from that practice, but I'm sure there's much more evolved science. Now, we do know the Scoville measurement is the globally accepted standard for spiciness with these peppers. So, and not all the peppers are, of course, as spicy as the others. So shishito peppers, almost a sweet pungency to those things, they have a pretty low shoe. They can be 50 to 200 Scoville units. A poblano is more like 1,500. A habanero can be 100,000 to 350,000 Scoville units. And right now, if we're looking in 2024, the world's hottest pepper, according to the Scoville rating system, is called Pepper X.
That's right.
2.69 million Scoville units.
Wow. How many cups of water would that be?
Too many. Yeah. Too many.
I did do a little cursory Google, and there apparently is a thing, a device called the Chili Pot, which is claimed to be the world's first Scoville meter, designed to be used in situations where people want to quickly and reliably know the Scoville units for their chili-based product or chili pepper.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So, kids, test your chili peppers. You don't want to get any of those tainted peps.
I'm picturing some like hippie Woodstock thing, but instead of drugs, it's all chili peppers.
That's what I'm saying.
And there's some guy running around like, "Don't eat the orange peppers."
Yeah. Or like that scene in Boogie Nights where the dude's like lighting off firecrackers, you know, and like everyone, and he's listening to Sister Christian by, I believe that's REO Speedwagon. Excellent scene. One of the most anxiety-inducing scenes ever. Who's that actor that plays that guy? Oh, gosh.
Gary Oldman.
No, it's not Gary Oldman, but Gary Oldman could have. It's not. He could have, though. Alfred Molina.
Oh, yeah.
He's unhinged. Gary Oldman totally could have played this role. He's in a bathrobe, waving a gun around.
That's,
you know,
right.
I think Gary Oldman basically played that character in True Romance. Very similar. But Max, I believe you have a Gary Oldman aside.
Oh, yeah. So before we got on the recording, Ben and I were talking. I'm like, oh, yeah, finally got to watch Oppenheimer. And I'm like, we were talking about the presidents at the same time. I'm like, yeah, Gary Oldman played a good Truman. Ben goes, Gary Oldman's in Oppenheimer?
And I've seen the film.
Because we had talked about Robert Downey Jr. kind of hiding in the character as well.
Right.
But I looked at the cast list. I'm like, oh, Gary Oldman's going to show up as Truman.
Benny Softy's in it, too, who I just is blowing up. I love that guy so much. I'm sad the Softy brothers are breaking up for the time being. But what a polymath. I'm just incredible actor, incredible director, incredible writer. Just really, really happy to see that guy succeed.
And we're going to wrap this episode up before one of us reveals themselves to be Gary Oldman, who is, again, an amazing actor. Like, if you're hearing this now, you might be Gary Oldman, and you might not know he's that good.
He is. Yeah. he can rock the makeup, you know. All he needs is, like, an eye patch, you know, to set him over the top. There's some really good memes where it's just like side-by-side images of him in different films. And the guy is an absolute chameleon.
Yeah. He's a regular Tilda Swinton. They may be the same person.
It's
entirely possible. A thing that is also entirely possible, speaking of awkward segues, you can save yourself from the sensation of heat if you eat a pepper that's too peppy for you. Capsaicin binds to a thing called TRPV1, the vanilloid receptor, right? Because again, it's related to the vanilla bean.
Sure.
Drinking water, as we all know, does not help you eliminate the heat. Not a bit.
Because it's not heat. It's not like it's not exactly like you've burned your tongue or you have an ouchie. It's something else. You've like ingested a substance that is eliciting a chemical reaction that feels like heat, but it's not like, but at the same time though, I have to say, with certain levels of spicy food, you do feel like you're sweating and your face does kind of get warm. So the urge or the impulse to drink water, it makes sense, but no, it's not going to do a damn bit of good.
You're absolutely right. On all counts, capsaicin, again, that active ingredient, our Kaiser Soze, capsaicin dissolves in fat and alcohol, not in water. So if you drink a lot of water, you're spreading that substance around.
Oh, wow.
You're just moving the burn to different areas.
Yeah, like your gullet.
Right. You know? Dairy products, and weirdly enough, booze will help absorb or act as a detergent.
Okay, so it's true. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Not for nothing do people serve chicken wings and beer in so many restaurants.
That does make sense. It's a good pairing too, because a good beer has a nice crisp bite to it as well. They just sort of like, it's just sort of like a nice white wine with the shrimp pasta or something like that. Big fan. Milk from mammals, it turns out, contains a protein called casein, which is the same protein that creates the curds in sour milk.
Noel's favorite food.
Those lumpy boys that also, if you scrape them off and just splat them into a vat, you got yourself cottage cheese. Casein is a lipophilic, which means it loves the fat protein, and that causes it to act as a kind of, almost the way detergent is able to dissolve and kind of, react with stains and with besmirchments of garments. This does so with spicy food, with capsaicin.
I do like besmirchment.
Yes, thank you.
That's great. And with that, folks, we are going to wrap up our history of condiments starting, this is our hot sauce episode. I don't know how to end it. I'm just so excited.
I will say this. I may have let this little story slip in the past, but I am a big fan of hot sauce, and I have very lucky to have occasion to travel to New York relatively frequently. And when I go, in the past handful of years, I've been staying in Williamsburg in Brooklyn. And in Williamsburg, really close to the hotel where I always stay, is a little shop called The Heatonist, which is a storefront connected with the Now We Feast brand and the Hot Ones, the chicken wing celebrity eating chicken wings show. And they have all of the hot sauces you can get with a subscription. Again, we're not sponsored, but would be happy to be. You can get all of those Heatonist Hot Ones hot sauce bundles. And they just have a remarkable collection of hot sauces from around the world. So every time I go, I grab a handful. The first time I went, I was a dodo and I put it in my carry-on bag.
You told me this.
Forgot that hot sauces just barely exceed the fluid ounce levels for a carry-on. You are able to check it, but I was not able to check my bag for other reasons. And so they confiscated my precious hot sauces. I always check the hot sauces.
I had a similar situation with moving some kimchi from South Korea.
And you sound like you're smuggling it.
I got it through, totally
moving units,
cool legal means. And I just didn't think of the air pressure. And so when we landed in the U.S., I had this, what had once been a very reasonable package of kimchi, had ballooned up.
Oh, no.
And
did it leak? It didn't leak in your bag.
No,
did it?
It just expanded.
Oh, thank God.
It expanded. And I was thinking, we could probably still eat it. Kimchi's quite durable. It is quite durable. But it is it is best to not take things on planes unless you know how they will behave. I don't know why that sounds like a mean comment about children on planes.
Oh man, children on planes are the worst.
They're up there.
You ever been in front of one that just like kicks your seat? Like he's doing it on purpose. And have you ever had to turn around and make a mean face at him? I'll do that.
I've done the face.
The most recent time I came back from Portland, I like to come back from the West Coast on a red eye because you just get on the plane, you fall asleep. And I got stuck next to a woman and her kid. Her kid was in the middle seat and he kept on trying to sleep on my shoulder. I'm like, girl, I don't know you, man. Don't get. No,
you made it weird, kid.
Yeah. You made it weird, buddy. You are a lot smaller. You fit in these seats a lot better. I mean, granted, my not general love for children is well stated, but still, I'm like,
how old would you guess the kid to be?
9.
Okay, undercover air marshal. Right. Obviously.
Definitely. Right. Definitely. I will say I've been on the other end of that as well, where I've accidentally popped a snooze on somebody's shoulder in a plane.
What? So,
yeah. I mean, look, when you're asleep, you don't know what you're going to do.
Were you also 9?
I'm perpetually 9. Okay. In my mind and in my heart. But no, seriously, guys, once you're asleep, all bets are off.
Sure.
This wasn't asleep. This kid was like trying to do it while he was awake.
Oh. He was knowingly snuggling you, Max?
Yeah, definitely an air marshal.
Okay.
That's and again,
that's what they call a honeypot right there.
Yeah. Wow. Tune into Ridiculous History's extended cinematic universe, Lil Marshals, the new
yes, from the Police Academy, from the makers of Police Academy. Yeah. And Kindergarten Cop. Yes. Comes Lil Marshals.
Lil Marshals. We can't wait. It's gonna be on Hulu, probably, yeah. Or maybe Disney.
It's gonna get buried on Apple Plus.
There it is. There it is. Stick with us. Hey, you guys know who else is a fan of hot sauce?
Do tell.
Jonathan Strickland, aka the Quister.
I thought he was allergic. I thought it would kill him instantly. Or is that just shellfish?
I think he has the condition.
Okay, well, I just hey, look, I just dropped in to see what condition Max's condition was in.
Oh, this whole episode is worth it because of the weird shrug Max just gave us.
It was a very good shrug. It was clear. It was like the shrug they based that emoji on.
There it is. Thanks as well.
After the fact.
Yeah. Thanks as well to our super producer, Mr. Max Williams. Thanks to, let's see, Eve's Jeffcoat.
Doesn't the condition sound like it could be like a wrestling name?
It really does. It could be on Jersey Shore. They call me the condition.
You know, I'm going to write an entire episode about this condition and make us do an episode about it just because of this now, right?
Well, but no. We got to keep the condition mysterious, Max.
Yeah, we can never explain.
We can't go demystifying the condition. Okay,
I will never say what it is, but I'm going to say every single every single thing about it, what it is, so someone can just Google search and figure it out.
No. This is unacceptable.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
All right, Max. You're the boss. Whatever you say. Savor the mystery while we have the chance.
Get it while it's fresh, folks. thanks, of course, to Alex Williams, who composed this track. Thanks to AJ Bahamas Jacobs, which we will also not explain. Noel, word on the street is people might hear you on The Puzzler.
They might. I actually was supposed to record yesterday, but I had to reschedule because I had some electrical issues in my studio, and the electrician ran into the time that I was supposed to record with AJ, but we have rescheduled for this Friday. So barely a hiccup. Should come out around the same time that it was originally planned to, which I don't know when that is, but it will be in the very near future.
Yeah, do us a favor and see how
don't old, embarrass you.
I was going to say, see how old Bahamas feels about hot sauce.
What is this Bahamas business, Ben? What is this Bahamas business?
You'll have to ask him.
He doesn't know. He said so.
It's like the condition, Noel.
I guess so. We'll see you next time, folks.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Avalon Waterways. Ben, are you in major need of a vacation right now?
Noel, you're a mind reader. I am, and aren't we all?
We are. While cruising remains popular, there's something big happening in the industry, and that is, my friend, smaller ships.
True story. The intimate ships of Avalon Waterways can go where the big ships can only dream, through winding passageways of rolling vineyards and castled hills, into the heart of timeless cities and storybook villages.
That sounds like a delight. See how Avalon's smaller ships promise greater discoveries, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.